This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Kevin Pollak, is one of the stars of the film The Usual Suspects. I won't even try to explain this incredibly complicated plot, except to say that it's about five criminals who become suspects in the same crime. They meet at a police lineup and become involved in a bigger crime than they ever imagined, masterminded by a mysterious and diabolical figure named Kaiser Sose. Pollak plays Todd Hockney, the guy who's good with explosives. Pollak also co-stars in Martin Scorsese's forthcoming film, Casino. Pollak started his career as a stand-up comic, and still occasionally does stand-up in spite of his increasingly successful acting career. My favorite scene from The Usual Suspects is the lineup. Each of the suspects is told to repeat a line that the witness heard the criminal say.
As written, it was a very serious, somber scene. And when we did the work that day, the five of us, Benicio del Toro, Kevin Spacey, Stephen Baldwin, Gabriel Byrne, and I were having so much fun, we couldn't stop laughing. It was one of those days, you know, you just can't get through it. And Brian said, "Fellas, I got 2 hours to shoot this, you're killing me, and we got to get this, and come on." And we, you know, when you're told not to laugh, of course, you have to laugh harder because you can't help it. And we literally could not get through a take without breaking up somehow. And he shot it from several different angles, and, you know, he said, "All right, you know, that's good, let's get out of here." And I guess we all sort of felt that maybe he had a few takes from different angles that he could cut together somehow and get a semblance of what the scene was supposed to be. And then when we all saw the film, saw that Brian took basically outtakes to create the scene, that is to say, you now see us breaking up involuntarily and uncontrollably. And it, you immediately feel these five guys know each other. And what follows in the next scene, in the holding cell, you realize that as they talk to each other that, you know, they're about to start working together. And it's just a magical moment that came from mistakes.
Well, the line that all the suspects at the lineup are asked to say is...
Yeah, the absurdity of that
certainly
lent itself to uncontrollable laughter.
Well, the line is, "Hand me the keys, you blank and blank." And...
Blanking... Blank blanker.
Yeah, hand me the keys, you blank and blank blanker.
Yeah, that
good,
would be
okay.
More.
And each of the suspects do it almost as if it were a line reading. I mean, they find it so absurd that they're in this lineup and they have to say this stupid line that they all do it as if they were doing bad line readings at an audition, and it's really funny.
Yeah, and you know, that wasn't rehearsed, as most of the film wasn't, and because of the time frame, we shot in 35 days for only $6 million, which is one of the really fun things to know about the film, because it looks so much lusher and richer than if a shooting schedule or budget would, you know, like that would allow. And we hadn't rehearsed, and basically nobody knew what the other guy was going to do. And it's one of the reasons there's so much involuntary laughter in the scene, because we're all being, you know, stupid, basically.
It comes off as arrogance, which works really well,
too. All right, fine.
Did each of the actors, each of the main actors in The Usual Suspects have different working styles, different approaches to...
Oh, yeah, it's quite eclectic, and it made for... you know, it's a testosterone fest, and and you know, everyone was feeling out their place in the pecking order, and there was a lot of support and, dare I say, bonding, and a lot of fun to be had in very intense scenes and moments, and you know, you got to break that up with some fun. I mean, this is a job, but who doesn't like to have fun while they're working? I mean, you know, we're able to sort of insist that we have fun. And the five styles, or the many styles that came together on the film, allowed each other to bust the other guy's chops occasionally. And it created some harmony at times, and at other times it created sort of a bizarre scenario where, you know, it was literally five different ideas about how to do a scene.
Could you tell us one of the bizarre scenarios?
Oh, golly. I guess when Pete Postlethwaite first arrives on the scene in the pool room, we were discussing how to do the scene. And basically, the scene is Pete has a five-page monologue where he's telling us all how we came to be brought together by Kaiser Soze, what we each did crime-wise at some point over the last years. And it's this long exposition-filled monologue. And the scene is all Pete's, and he came completely and utterly prepared, you know, what we say off book or completely memorized. And a 5-page monologue is absolutely insanity to any actor. And the rest of us were trying to figure out what to do in the scene. And at some point, Pete sort of leveled us with, you know, it's all there on the page. And basically he was saying, I'm prepared. Why don't you guys just shut up and let me do my work? And it was a pretty wild day.
Kevin Pollak is my guest, one of the stars of The Usual Suspects. So how did you make your transition from comedy to acting?
You know, you pay the right people.
That's right.
Spread, yeah. Spread some cash around Hollywood. Yeah. It's easy to do. The big transition for me would be Avalon. I mean, I was doing a pilot, TV pilot for somebody, and I heard about this movie called, at the time, was called The Family, written by Barry Levinson, and he was going to direct it. So I got the script, and they were reading a lot of comedians for this particular part. And I went over and auditioned during the production of this TV pilot, the point of that being my head really wasn't in this other audition for Barry Levinson. And in fact, he wasn't even there. I was put on tape by the casting woman, and they were sending a bunch of tapes to Barry. And so ultimately, obviously, I didn't get the part. And when I finished shooting the pilot, I thought, you know, that script was phenomenal, and I would love to play that part, and I think I could do it. And I spoke to my people, who got to his people, and said Kevin would like another crack at this. And Barry said, well, you know, I know Kevin. He had seen me do stand-up at the Improv, and in fact had called me in for a couple of previous films, Good Morning Vietnam and Tin Men. I didn't get the part either time, but he professed to be a fan. And so when asked if I could come back in and read for him, he said, I like Kevin. I think he's funny. He's the right look, the right age. I've never seen him do anything that calls for this much range. But if he wants to show me what he's got, you know, in person, I'd be happy to see him. He was in Baltimore at the time, location scouting. So I flew myself to Baltimore and to see if I could bat with the big boys. And we just had a great time. And Barry, at the time, didn't care for acting at all. He didn't like acting. Per se. He likes spontaneity and real. And so I learned from working with Barry this style of acting that had been around for a very long time, which is sort of a theory of less is more.
You started your comedy career, I think, shortly before the whole comedy boom. What was the comedy circuit like when you were getting started?
Well, there wasn't one. I mean, I started in Northern California. San Francisco had been a hotbed for comedy in the 50s and 60s, and then it sort of died out in late 60s and 70s. And where I grew up in San Jose, California, an hour south of San Francisco, there were no comedy clubs. And so I would open up for rock bands and go on between rock bands, which was about as bad as it could get as far as a warm interested audience setting. I mean, I've heard of comics who work strip joints and stuff, and I never did that, but I can't imagine that anything could have been worse for a performer to stand in front of rock and roll fans who really want to get to the next song and don't care at all that you're there. So I you know, learned the hard way and came up and paid some serious dues, and then eventually moved to San Francisco and got into the real stand-up comedy scene that was going on in actual comedy nightclubs, and was there at really the birth of the mid to late 70s, of the resurgence of stand-up comedy in San Francisco with the likes of Robin Williams, and who I've known for 20 years, and Dana Carvey, who's one of my close, dear friends, as they say. We both sort of cut our comedy teeth in the late 70s in San Francisco, and other people like Bobby Slayton, and a lot of comics who came out of the late 70s, early 80s. And it was certainly before what I call the gold rush. I hate to sound like, boy, when I was a kid, but when I started out, you couldn't get on television. I mean, there was a half dozen comics that were on The Tonight Show on a regular basis, and every now and then Johnny would break in a new one. And it was the hardest thing in the world. And in fact, by the time I got an opportunity to do The Tonight Show in the late 80s, when they asked me to do it, the gold rush had hit, and there had already been hundreds of comics now that were on The Tonight Show. And it, to me personally, it lost the specialness for my own personal needs. And I said, you know, I appreciate the invite, but I'd now actually like to do the show on the couch, sitting down, making Johnny laugh. That seems really cool and special now, having seen Steve Martin and David Steinberg and various people do that. And I said, I know you can't justify sitting me down because that's another part of the pecking order, but I'm willing to wait. And it took another 9 months before I had a movie come out that I was in where they could justify sitting me down. And then I ended up doing the show about a dozen times with Johnny, and that was the thrill of my life. Was sitting there making the king laugh. You know, there was no greater thrill.
Did you work it all out beforehand, though? Doesn't everybody know exactly what's going to happen when you're on the couch?
Not exactly. There's a pre-interview where you discuss topics, and for a stand-up to do the pre-interview for the couch, yeah, they say, what material do you want Johnny to set up? But the truth of the matter is, Johnny was the best at not only passing it off as conversation, but mixing it up and making it conversation. He was a great listener, but he also liked to get in there and play. And he would throw you purposely when he felt you could handle it. And it led to more fun than you might have been able to create from prearranged material. You know.
I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Kevin Pollak co-stars in The Usual Suspects and in Martin Scorsese's forthcoming film, Casino. This is Fresh Air.